Okay. All right. We continue our journey through the Ramban and the Rambam on the Chumash. So,
Make it larger, if you don't mind.
it's as large as it gets. It's 200%. I can't make it much
That's
larger.
200%.
That's
Okay.
200%. So,
Okay.
Eliezer's controversial wager. So, we'll start with the Pesukim. In this week's parasha, of course, I'm sure everybody knows the story that I'm talking about. This is Eliezer, or we don't know his name is Eliezer. It's Eved Avraham's journey to find a bride for Yitzchak. The Torah describes the beginning of that journey as follows: So he shows up in the city with his camels around the time of the water drawing. Hashem. He calls out to Hashem in Avraham's name and says, "Do chesed with my master Avraham." Hine, anochi nitzav mayim. I'm standing here. Girls are coming out. Hine, hanara asher amar eleha hati na kadech ve'eshteh ve'amra shtei gam gmalach hashkeh otah hochachta la'avdecha li'Yitzchak. Uva eda ki asita chesed im Adoni. So he asks for chesed, and then he describes how he wants it all to work out. He says, "What I expect to happen is that I'm going to show up in the city. I'm going to show up right outside the, right in front of the well, and whichever girl comes and feeds me and the camels, that's the one that I'll know. That's the one that you want to marry, Yitzchak." That's the simplest way to read this. Vayhi, amazingly. Who term kilal daber vina rivka yotzei asher yoldah le'betuel ben milka eshet nachor achi avram v'kadal shechma. Before he even finished talking, there is Rivka. Rivka comes out. Now it's interesting because at least in I don't know, for some reason my memory, the way that it goes is that Rivka approaches him. Rivka just comes towards him and starts to feed his animals. But that's not the way the Torah describes it. The Torah describes that he goes to Rivka and asks to be fed, and she agrees, and she feeds the camels. That's the gist of the content of what goes on over there. And then the ending, Vaish, he wants to know, did Hashem really, is it really this easy? Who are you? And that seems to be it. Baruch Hashem Adoni Avraham Asher Lo Adoni Adoni. I found the girl. Okay, amazing. So Eliezer is convinced that this is the one that's supposed to marry Yitzchak. Question is, how did he come to this conclusion? Now we'll take a look at the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says as follows. It tells a story. Once Rav was going to his son-in-law Rav Chanan, and he saw a ferry boat coming towards him. He said to himself, "When the ferry boat comes to meet one, it is a good omen. If the ferry boat comes to meet me, it's a good thing." As he came to the door, he looked through the crack of the door and he saw the meat of an animal hanging up. He then knocked at the door and everybody came out to meet him, even the butchers. Rav, however, did not take his eyes off the meat and said to them, "If that is how you look after things, then you are giving my daughter's children forbidden meat to eat." Meaning, if you abandon the meat in the house without anybody to watch it, that's called basar shnit alei min ha'ayin, meat that has disappeared from the eye, and it's not kosher. Okay? If
Oh.
you have meat that's unmarked, that's got no kashrut, and it's just, you left it in your kitchen, and then there are non-Jews that come through your kitchen, you can't eat that meat anymore. And Rav said, "How could you do that?" And Rav did not eat of that meat. So the Gemara says, "But why? If because of the meat that had disappeared from sight, basar shnit alei min ha'ayin, which I was talking about, but here it didn't lose sight of it." It doesn't make any sense because in this story, Rav kept his eyes on the meat the whole time. And if it's because of the omen, Rav himself has said an omen which is not after the form pronounced by Eliezer, Avraham's servant, or by Jonathan, the son of Shaul, is not considered divination. If it's because of this omen that he was concerned about, then this omen that he's talking about is not like the omen of Eliezer. So the answer is the reason is it was a meal of free choice. And Rav would not partake of a meal of free choice. Okay, fine. The Gemara has the conclusion that it has. But what interests us for now is this part. This part's what interests us. Rav says to himself, "An omen which is not after the form pronounced by Eliezer, Avraham's servant, or by Yonatan ben Shaul is not considered a divination." It sounds weird in English, and it's written in basically negative form. But what the Gemara is basically saying is that what Eliezer did and what Yonatan ben Shaul did, which we'll get to in a second, was a form of nichush. That's the word that's used in the Gemara. And nichush, as we all know from the Pasuk in Dvarim, is asur midaraita. Okay? Nichush is a form of divination using, basically saying, you know, if this happens, then it means that, you know, creating an omen for yourself. And that's asur. You're not allowed to do that. So, what do we do? What's, by the way, what's the story with Yonatan ben Shaul? Anybody remember what happened with Yonatan ben Shaul?
Shooting the arrows.
Shooting the arrows. Which arrows?
When David was running away from Shaul.
No, it's not that story. It's a different story.
Ah, okay.
It's the story where he's hiding behind enemy lines. Yonatan ben Shaul went commando. He went across the enemy lines. Let's see if I can find it. He went across the enemy lines. Baruch, it sounds like you know what the story is. Looks like you know what the story is. Want to tell everybody what the story is before I find it? You have to unmute first. Or turn on your microphone. That's okay. So let's see if I can find the story so that we can actually look at it together. Story goes, this is obviously going to be, oh, it's going to be much later, actually. It's going to be much later. I'm not going to find it. Basically, the story goes that Yonatan ben Shaul got behind enemy lines, and he was with, like, I forget if it was four other people. I think there were a total of five people with him, and they were going to attack the entire army, the entire enemy army, just by themselves. And obviously, the people who were with him were a little bit nervous. So he said, okay, we'll make a siman. Says, I think what it was is that I'm going to do something, and if they get scared, then it means that they're afraid of us. They're really afraid of us, and we're going to win. Hashem is going to be with us. And so I can't remember now what it is that he does. He does something, and they get scared, and they go out, and they destroy the entire enemy army. And so that was also considered a form of nichush. He did like a siman, and he said, if it happens, then we're going to win. So that's what the Gemara is referring to when it says, anything that's like what Eliezer did or what Yonatan ben Shaul did is a form of nichush, but anything less than that is not nichush. So what we're left with, and the point is, that it sounds like Eliezer was engaging in a forbidden form of divination when he found Rivka. So the question is that the case? And how do we feel about that? So what do you anticipate? What do you think the Rambam is going to say? What's the Rambam going to say about this story with Eliezer?
This wasn't nichush. He was just testing what kind of woman she was.
Okay. So, Martin, you say the Rambam is going to say that what Eliezer did was fine and it wasn't nichush.
I think the Rambam is going to say it is nichush because he just thinks straight and rational all the time. And I think that's a little too magic-y for him.
I think the Rambam's going to say this story didn't really happen. It's allegorical. or it was a dream, as we discussed last week.
Okay, well, let's see.
Since you laughed at me, I assume that's not correct.
No, it's not correct. We don't have to go to the Mor Nevuchim. This is actually in the Rambam's Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Okay, so you can guess where this is going. Rambam writes, Ein menachashin ka'akum. We don't divine like the, you know, the idolaters. Shneimar lo tenachashu. Keitzedu anachash. What is nachash? Kigon elu shomim oil v'nafla piti mipi. Like somebody who says, oh, my bread fell from my mouth. Onafal maklim yadi. Eini olech l'makom ploni hayom. Sheim elech ein chafatzayai naasim. Superstition. Person says, this fell out of my mouth. My stick fell. It's a bad day. I better stay home. I won't do any investing today. I'm not going to have my surgery. Nothing. I'm not doing anything today. There was a weasel that went behind a fox that went by my door. I'm not going to do anything. Black cat. וכן אלו ששומעים צפצוף העוף ואומרים יהיה כך ולא יהיה כך, טוב לעשות דבר פלוני ורע לעשות דבר פלוני. וכן אלו שומעים שחוט תרנגול זה שקרה ערבית, שחוט תרנגול את זו שקרה כמו תרנגול. You come up with these arbitrary, but not really arbitrary, mystical, superstitious rules for how to live your life. That's nichush. Okay? וכן המשים סימנים לעצמו, somebody who sets up his own סימנים, אם ירו לכך וכך, אעשה דבר פלוני. אם לא ירה לי, לא אעשה. Somebody says, at the outset, if the following happens, then I'm going to do it. If the following doesn't happen, then I'm not going to do it. Eliezer Eved Avraham. Like Eliezer, the servant of Avraham. V'chein kol keyotu b'dvarim heilu. Hakol asur. V'kol ha'asama asem imne davar midvarim heilu. Okay. Anybody does anything like this, malkut. It's an isur d'oraita. In other words, what Eliezer did. If Eliezer had lived post Har Sinai, he would have gotten Malkut. That's what it sounds like. Why? Because Eliezer was basically engaging in superstition. He was saying, if a girl comes out and feeds me and my camels, that's the girl who's going to marry Yitzchak. Asur, lo tenachashu. The Ravid, unsurprisingly, vehemently disagrees. The Ravid is the Rambam's classic opponent. Ze shibush gadol. This is a big mistake. It's permissible and permissible. Oh, the Rambam must have read our Gemara in Chulin. Our Gemara in Chulin says that if you don't do Nichush like Eliezer or Yonatan ben Shaul, then you're not doing Nichush. You don't know what you're doing. You're not a professional Menachesh. And so the Rambam read that and said, okay, that means that what they did was Nichush. Eliezer is a Menachesh. The Ravid says, no, that's not the proper way to read the Gemara. The Gemara is not talking about Isur. It says, no, that's not what it is. The Gemara is simply saying it's not Ra'ui, it's not right to rely on it. But it's not saying it's Asur, it's not saying it's Nichush. It's just saying it's not right to rely on it. And then he continues and he says, how could, you know what? It's one thing to say, let's say, for example, Eliezer Eved Avraham engaged in Nichush. Nicha, fine, maybe. But Yonatan ben Shaul is one of the good guys. We're saying he engaged in Avodah Zarah? It's very hard to say such a thing. So the Ravid basically leaves it and says, it's just saying that you shouldn't rely on it, but it's not saying it's actually Asur, what Eliezer and Yonatan ben Shaul did. Okay, fine. So far, so good. How's the Rambam going to deal with this, though?
Excuse me. Why can't we just say Eliezer wanted someone who was a Baalat Chesed, and this is the instrument to demonstrate?
We could, and some do, but for some reason, the Rambam doesn't. Meaning the Rambam could have said that as well, but he didn't. And the Gemara did it, right? The Gemara said, seems to imply that what he did was Nichush. And that's why the Rambam doesn't think that's what it means. But we're going to see that some disagree. But before we get there, how are we going to save Eliezer and Yonatan ben Shaul from this canard of Nichush? That's the question, right? Because the Ravid says, according to the Rambam, Eliezer and Yonatan ben Shaul are Avodah Zarah, basically. So Tosfot on that Gemara could be read in conjunction with the Rambam to save them both from this charge. Because Tosfot say, Eliezer ben Avraham, v'im tamar Eliezer heach nichesh, l'man damar perek arba amito t'kol ha'amor b'parshat mechashef ben noach muzar alav. Tosfot says, if it's really nichosh, then guess what? Eliezer can't do it either. Because even a ben noach is not allowed to do nichosh. It's considered a form of Avodah Zarah sufficiently so that the Ben Noach is not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, so Eliezer can't do it either. And for Tosfot, it's beyond belief that we would say that Eliezer engaged in Avodah Zarah. V'yesh lomar, da'ahu tana savar shelo natan la'atzmidim ad shehigidela lo bat mihi. Okay, so good. So if you guys are paying attention, so the Tosfot says that Eliezer didn't actually give her the jewelry until after he asked her whose daughter she was. Why does this matter? Why is this a good answer?
Because it doesn't depend on the tanai that he made. It depended on the family that she's from.
Right. It's no longer nichush. He got everything he needed. He got a girl who did something nice for him, and she happens to be from the family that he was looking for. So it's no longer nichush anymore. He got everything that he wanted. What's the problem with this explanation, with this answer? Well, is it right? Did Eliezer give the jewelry to Rivka only after he asked her? Take a look. He gave it to her first, and then he asked her. So how could Tosfot say what he says? So he says, well, okay, so Tosfot pulls out our old friend, that doesn't necessarily go in order. And he says that, in fact, in reality, when the event occurred, first Eliezer asked whose daughter she was, and then he gave her the jewelry. Now, it seems like a stretch, but Tosfos does point out, when Eliezer tells the story to Lavan, this is the way he tells the story, that he first asked her whose daughter she was and then gave her the jewelry. So you have two options. One option is that Eliezer really didn't do that and he's lying when he talks to Lavan for whatever reason. And the other option is that he really did do that and the story as it's told in the beginning is not in order. You have to choose between one of these two options. But this is Tosfos' way of saving Eliezer. If this is true, then how do we read the Gemara, though? The Gemara says that Eliezer is a Menachish. Tosfos is commenting on the Gemara. What do you say? How does this save? How do you square the Tosfos' comment with the Gemara?
I don't think you can, because he did make that deal. He did say, if blah, 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 then I will. And that he did before the jewelry came into it. So he had made this whatever you want to call it. But he had, in his mind, he had already made that deal.
I think I understand what you're saying, Marilyn. You're saying it doesn't matter what he actually did in the end, because at the beginning, he said that he was going to give it to whoever. Yeah. Was so even if he afterwards finds out that it's Rivka, the daughter of Betuel, and only then gives her the jewelry, he still already had made up his mind.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I hear you. But it seems clear that Tosfos believes that he didn't really make up his mind yet. He really didn't make up his mind until after he heard. That seems to be the way Tosfos is reading the Gemara, right? Tosfos seems to be saying that. So then what does the Gemara mean when it says Eliezer is a Menachesh? It means that if Eliezer had not also asked for her name, then he would be guilty of Menachesh, and he would be a prime example of what you should not do. Eliezer would be the poster child for what you should not do. He saved himself by asking for her name afterwards, but he would have been a bad example. And Tosfos actually doubles down on this by saying the same thing about Yonatan ben Shaul. He says, "V'im tomer heach nichesh." How could Yonatan ben Shaul do nichush? Same question. The answer is, Yonatan ben Shaul wasn't really, making a superstition. He wasn't really saying, okay, if this happens, then we'll attack. He just wanted to excite the boy that he was with. He was with one other person. That's what I remember now. He was with one other. There were two commandos by themselves, and he wanted to get him excited. So he made up this game that they were going to play. And he said, if they get scared, then we're going to attack. But he was always in planning to it. He was going to attack no matter what. So he wasn't actually being Menachesh. He was just trying to encourage the young boy who was with him. So Tosfos' way of dealing with all of this is to say, yes, the Rambam is right. These are forms of Nichush. But the characters in the story weren't actually engaging in Nichush because their Kavana was different. Their Kavana was not to be Menachesh. But if their Kavana was to use only these events to determine their actions, then yes, it would be nichush. That's what Tosfos seems to be saying.
Okay.
Okay. But now we'll move on to what I think my father pointed out, and I think it's what we all were thinking. This is the most commonly cited comment. This is the Drasha Taran, Rabbeinu Nisim, and he's actually quoting Rabbeinu David, one of the Talmidim of the Ramban, of Nachmanides, over here. But everybody quotes it in the name of the Ran. And he says as follows. I got a nice English translation of it. If one should ask, if one is forbidden to resort to these signs and is called an augurer, that's in Menachesh, then how are we to understand Rav? How do we understand the story over here in Chulin? What was he doing? So he says, the answer is, though Rav tested propitiousness, right? He was superstitious. By means of a ferry, he did not make his future action entirely dependent upon the result of that test, but only sought some indication of whether he would meet with success. And even if the sign was that he would not, because of this, abandoned his undertaking, knowing as he did that the Blessed One can change anything according to his will. So he's saying that Rav is not really depending upon this superstition that he came up with about the business with the ferry. He was going to do it anyways. He was just trying to, you know, add another sign, but he was going to rely on Hashem either way. But then he continues. But did not Rav himself say that any augur who is not like Eliezer, the servant of Abraham and Yonatan and Shaul, is not a Menachesh? And he answers, that Nichush is forbidden only insofar as it is not dictated by intellect. But whatever is dictated by intellect is not augury, but the way of the world. And differs in no way from saying, if it rains tomorrow, we will sow, and the like. What's the Ran saying? What's Rabbeinu Nisim saying over here?
It was a perfectly reasonable condition for Eliezer to make.
Exactly. He's saying that Eliezer is not at all guilty of Nichush, because even the superstition that he came up with is not a superstition. He's saying if a girl shows up who's a Balat Chesed, then she's from Mary Yitzchak. Very simple. That's not superstition. That's the way of the world. That's Derech Eretz. That's rational. If he had said, if a girl shows up wearing a blue brooch, then that's a siman for me that she is supposed to marry Yitzchak, that would have been Nichush. But he gave a, you know, if you come to your shidduch date with a list of things that you're expecting. So it depends what the list says. If the list says, you know, her name should start with an R and she should have three sisters, right? And then I'll marry her. That's Nichush. But if the list says, you know, she says a bracha rishona and she says a bracha achrona. She says please and thank you. And she wants to have zmiros at the Shabbos table and she comes from a good family, then I'll marry her. And that's, you know, you should probably do a little bit more work, but that's perfectly reasonable. If those are the criteria, then those are the criteria. There's nothing wrong with that. And what Eliezer did was not Nichush. But now the Ran is left with one problem. What problem is he left with?
Yonatan
is the same. Yonatan said, if we make this noise and they get scared, then we know that we can beat them. Yonatan seems to be saying, look, they're afraid of us already, right? You all, you know, they recently told the story. I don't know where I recently heard this, but the story about how Rav Goren captured Chevron. You know this story? It's a great story. Anybody hear the story about how Rav Goren captured Chevron? I think it was Chevron.
Nope.
Did he take a wrong turn?
No, close though. Supposedly, this is the story that I heard. Supposedly, the army was a little bit afraid of Rav Goren because he was kind of wild. He would do kind of wild things. And so when they knew that they were going to Hebron during 67, when they were going to Hebron, so they didn't want to take him because they were afraid of what he's going to do. So I think what happened was that in the morning, when they woke up to go and, you know, approach Hebron carefully, they didn't wake him up. Something like this. I may be botching the story, but it's something along these lines. So he woke up late. He looked at the clock. He said, what's going on? I'm so late. He jumped in a jeep, grabbed the gun, and sped towards Hebron. And somehow he beat the army to Hebron. He comes riding in, like firing his gun in the air by himself. One jeep by himself. Everybody in Hebron pulls out white handkerchiefs and they wave them in the air. They surrender. They surrender to Rav Goren. Now the backstory is that they surrendered because they had in mind the massacre that occurred in Hebron, and they thought, okay, the Jews are coming to do revenge. So whoever was going to show up, they already had heard the news that you were winning. So whoever shows up, they were going to surrender. But Rav Goren comes marching into the town, firing his gun in the air. The entire city surrenders to Rav Goren. That's the story that I heard. You can look it up afterwards if it's true. So it's similar to, you know, Yonatan ben Shaul is saying, look, if they're afraid of this noise, then it means that we've already won and we'll be able to beat them. No, that's not the problem. What's the problem with the Ran? At the end of the day, the Ran has to read the Gemara, right? The Gemara said Eliezer was a Menachesh. And the Yonatan ben Shaul are Menachshim. So how do we deal with that? So it seems like the answer is it's the Mivneh. Meaning, the only thing that the Gemara is saying is that the if-then statement of Yonatan ben Shaul and Eliezer, that's the Mivneh of Nichush. It's true that in the case of Eliezer, good night, the case of Eliezer was not Nichush because he used a rational reason. But if he had said instead of if she feeds me, if he had said if she's wearing a blue coat, then that means that she's the one, that would have been Nichush. And that's the only thing the Gemara is saying. Saying if you have this Mivnev, if this happens, then I will do that. That's Nichush. Okay. But this is a Shir on Rambam Ramban, right? So let's get to the Ramban. So, I mean, we kind of did already because this was actually Rabbeinu David, as I said before. Rabbeinu David is a Talmud of the Ramban. This is the Ran also is from the school of the Ramban. So this could be his position. But in fact, I want to point out one other thing about the Ramban. I don't want to go too deep into this. But the Ramban in Sefer Devarim, how does the Ramban feel about things like Nichush? So let me frame it in the following way. The Rambam is of the opinion that not only is Nichush usur, it's also stupid. Right? Superstition is stupid. For that matter, all magic is stupid. It doesn't work. And you have to be a fool to believe in it. And the Torah doesn't like fools. So that's why it makes it usur to actually engage in the practice. Aside from the fact that it's lifnei iver in a certain way, because you're implying to everybody that it works, and then other people are going to be fooled. But the bottom line is that the Rambam thinks that Nichush is usur because it doesn't work and it's stupid. Right? Does the Ramban agree?
Sure.
The answer is he does not agree. In the Psukim and Dvarim, most of Avodah Zarah is described as a toeva. But the Ramban points out, Hama'onein v'hamenachesh ein ha-toiva. They're not described as a toiva. V'lo horisha k'na'anim ba'avuram. The k'na'anim were not kicked out of the land of Kana'an because of Nichush and Ma'onein. They were kicked out for a lot of other things, but not for these things. Why? Very simple. Because the bottom line is, kol bnei adam yitavu ladat atidut lamo. Everybody wants to know about the future. It's a simple human need. We all want to know what's going to happen in the future. Umitaskin b'chochmot rabot ke'ela l'da'atam. And they use these kinds of wisdoms in order to find out about the future. That's the point of it. And then he goes on to say, look, I want to tell you something about magic. How does magic work? And it does work, he says. Hashem created a world where he made elyonim. He made upper worlds, which control the lower worlds. But then, Natan Koach Ha'aretz V'chol Asher Aleha B'Kochavim Mazalot L'fi Haganatam. He made it so that, basically, he's describing to a certain degree astrology, right? So that the bodies, quote unquote, above the earth in space are able to control the earth. And then he gave the wisdom to its tagninot, to astrologers, to understand and control them. Hayamini flotav atzimot, shesam b'koach hamanigim elyonim, sorry, darkei tmurot v'kochot l'hamir hanagat asher lamata mehem. Right? He gave the operating code. He put it and made it available on earth. Right? He made a back door in his computer system. Those who know how to hack the system are able to, and they're able to change the way that the world works. That's kishuf. That's magic. And it works. And he says, uvda, that it works. Everybody knows that it works. We have books and books and books, and we have people that we pay a lot of money, and everybody knows that it works. Ramban takes it for granted that these kinds of things absolutely work. And he says, for example, Al-Kain, Amar Baal Sefer HaLevana Chacham Benegromancia, that's necromancy, which is using the dead for magic. K'sha Levana V'hinik Reit Galgal HaOlam Barosh Tle. So it says in this book that when the earth, when the moon is in a certain spot, it facing in a certain direction. So make a certain picture. And you write something on it. And voodoo, right? And do a certain, burn some incense. And you can ruin a person's life like this. And vice versa. If you do the opposite, then you can help somebody. So he says, this absolutely works, Ramban says. However, aval, ha-hanahaga ha-pshuta, the normal way of the world, asher b'malcha, hu chefetz ha-borit barach, asher sam bahem me'az, which is the way that Hashem wants the world to work, right? The normal way, v'ze hipech, v'ze asot ha-kshafim, v'kocham shamu bahem shehem achishim p'mal yishlamala. What are the mechashvim, what are the menachshim doing when they engage in their practices? What are they actually doing?
They're changing the course of nature.
Which is the way that Hashem set up the world. They're mechashim pamalyo shamalya. They're going against the voice of God, basically. Valkein, therefore, ra'ui she'te'asor otam ha'Torah v'yunach ha'olam l'minago l'tivo ha'pashut shehu chefetz baro. Therefore, all practices of changing the nature of the world, changing the way that things work, are asur because, not because they don't work and not because they're stupid, but because they go against God's will. Okay. And we have all kinds of averot of going against God's will. He gives an example, by the way, of kilayim, right? We don't know the reason for kilayim, except, according to the Ramban, kilayim is against the way of the world. Hashem created all the species, whether it's animal species, whether it's vegetative species, whether it's foods, whether it's tzemer and pishtim, he made all these species, and they're supposed to be separate, supposed to keep them separate. And kilayim is putting them together, right? And the Ramban is of the opinion that the reason kilayim is aser is because you're messing with creation. Now, this isn't the philosophy, we're not getting into the philosophy of cloning or genetic engineering, we're not getting into the halakha of that, but that's the Ramban's position. Now, that's in terms of changing things. What about predicting things? Look, I predict something using kishuf, using astrology. There shouldn't be anything wrong with that because I'm not changing anything, right? So it should be mutter, but it's not. So why is it not? What do you think? What's the Ramban going to say? Why is it not mutter? If you're not changing anything, you're not being machish pamalya shalmala, then why is it not okay to, use a little bit of astrology here and there to find out, who's going to win the Super Bowl or to find out what the lottery numbers are going to be? What's wrong with that? So Ramban says, it's not a toiva. Kasher klala katuv hamonin v'akosmim ha-toivot ha-nizkorot chazar ha-pireish ha-goyim ha-eila ha-shu'atah yireish utam ha-almonin v'akosmim yishmu'u ki chamachmatam la-da'at ha-ba'ot v'ata lo kein natan ha-shem ha-kacha. They did this in order to know about the future, but you, Hashem, does not want you doing that. Hine asar lecha Hashem amasim ha'eila ha-nizkarim ba'avur shehem toivot ha-fanav u'begala ha-morish ha-goyim ha-yam ipanacha v'asar lecha ha-nechashim ha-ksamim. The other things are also because of toiva. Nechashim ksamim is aser ba'avur she'asa lecha ma'ala gdola. Because Hashem wants better for you. Latitcha elyon al kol goya aret she'akim bikirbecha Navi. V'itein dvara b'fiv. V'ata tishma mimenu ma'yifal el. V'lo titztarech ata batidut el kosim menachish. So Marilyn, why does Hashem not want us to do menachish u'ma'onen? Why does he not want us to find out the future from astrology?
Because we are not prophets, anachnu lo neviim.
We're not prophets, but
he doesn't want us to prophesy. It's not for us to know.
Ah, close, very close, very close. He says, because I'm giving you prophets, because you are an Am Kodesh, I'm going to speak directly to your holy people, and you'll have prophets. And if you have prophets, then what do you don't need? What do you not need? Astrologers. He says, these things work. It's fine that they work. And you know what? We'll get to it. Maybe it's okay for other people, but not for you. You have prophets. I speak directly to you. You have no need for this. it's a shanda. She kablu otamina kochavim omina shvalim besarim ala shein kol divrem emet v'lo yodiu b'kol atzarich aval anevuah todia chefet Hashem v'lo yipol davar mikol davar. Because by the way, anyways, even when you're menachesh, you can still get things wrong. Because Hashem can go against the menachesh. Right? Lavan describes himself as a menachesh. But he loses. He loses. Why? Because Hashem is up against him. Bilam is a person who engages in magic. And he loses. Why? Because Hashem is against him. So the bottom line is, we have a better system. It's called Nevuah. And Hashem says, if you're using that, then it's basically a slap in my face. You're saying that you'd rather use this inferior system instead of the system that I'm giving you. Now, Rabban writes a few psukim later, the pasuk Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. You shall be whole and simple and complete with Hashem. This is what it means, he says. We should not use other ways of divining the future. Why? Because he is above everything, and anyways, he can change the future even to go against the predictions of the astrologers. Now, because the astrologers are wrong, or that they're pointless, but because he can go above and beyond them. So the Ramban's view is very different from the Rambam. The Rambam says the whole thing is nonsense. The Ramban says it's not nonsense. It's just that we're better than that. We have better systems for divining. We have Nevi'im, we have the Rambutumim, we have Ruach HaKodesh, we have all those things. Okay, fine. Going back to Eliezer, based on this, maybe we can have a new approach. Excuse me one second. Okay, now we can have a new approach. The Ramban says there's no problem with what Eliezer did. Now, is that because of what the Ran says and what the Rabbeinu David say, that it was smart? It could be. That's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, Perusho, Hakrena lefanai hayom hazeh hamikre shetiyah na'ara sho'amar ilayah ota shokhakta lavdach leitzchak v'aseh bazeh chesedim adoni Avraham. Send to me this girl. Ki va'ida ki asita chesedimo. According to Ramban, the statement that he says, "Vata uchachta la'avdacha liyitzchak uva'ida ki asita chesed imadoni." Is this a prediction? Is Eliezer talking to himself and saying, "If this works, then I'm going to pick her"? No, according to Ramban, and this is similar to the Sforno. The Sforno says, "Vayan arash amar leh hitpalel shiyakach." The Sforno says, and this is what the Ramban means also, he prayed for this. Lo samach al nachash, rather. It's not that he relied on some kind of divination. Rather, he prayed for this. Again, he's saying the same thing as what we said in the name of the Ran before. The Gemara is not objecting to Eliezer. It's objecting to anybody using the formula that Eliezer uses. But in principle, what Eliezer is doing is he's actually praying to Hashem, arrange for this to happen. Find the girl for me and present her to me. That's what he's doing. He's not actually doing nichush. He's not saying, oh, this is what's going to happen if this happens. He's saying, no, Hashem, present it to me. Now, what's the upshot? The upshot is, and this Rav Moshe Targan has an article about this, and he points out the differences between the Rishonim that we just read. He says, according to the Ravid, the Isser applies only to conventions practiced by ancient seers. Evidently, the Isser stems from the world of Avodah Zarah. According to the Ravid, the problem only happens when there's Avodah Zarah involved. And Eliezer and Emet HaMetzol obviously are not engaging Avodah Zarah. Rabbeinu David and the Ran, they slightly change it, and they say that it applies to any meaningless system, not just Avodah Zarah. Anything you even make up. If you say, okay, a black cat crosses my path, that's bad luck. Even though there's no religion that says that, if you just make that up without any rationality to it, that's also nichush. So what's not nichush according to the Ran? If you come up with a rational way of deciding what you're going to do. But by contrast, the Ramban, and possibly the Rambam, by extending this to any attempt to predict the future, even authentic ones might have viewed the Isra as deriving from a lack of faith in Hashem. The Ramban seems to say, any attempt to predict the future is Asur. even if it's using rationality. You have to just have faith in Hashem. You can't predict the future otherwise. So then he says, one of the ramifications might be for a Gentile. You don't have to go deeply into this. Because if it's not about Avodah Zarah, then it should be fine for a Gentile. It should be fine. So there's no problem with what Eliezer did. And that's what he says. Quite possibly, if Nichush is a form of Avodah Zarah, there would be no special permits allowed. If it's Avodah Zarah, then Eliezer is not allowed to do it. Because he's not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. But if it displays a lack of trust in Hashem, then does that apply over here to what Eliezer is doing? Obviously not, because he's operating under Ruach HaKodesh. He's saying Hashem is going to arrange this for me. Eliezer is not saying, okay, if a black cat crosses my path or if she's wearing a blue brooch, then that's a good sign. No. Eliezer is saying, Hashem, send me something. Send me a sign that this is going to happen. If it came from some other area, from astrology or from some other god, then that would be a problem. But Eliezer is saying, Hashem, I want you to send it to me. That can never be superstition. Now, we may not like it. We may not agree with it all the time. But the statement, Hashem, please send me a sign, and then going according to that sign, it's hard to understand why that would be asur, as Nichush.
Except that in this case, he's asking for a specific sign. He's not just saying, send me a sign. Send me a girl who does X, Y, and Z. That's more than just saying, send me a sign.
Right. So actually, Dad, it's great that you pointed that out, because there is another Gemara that criticizes Eliezer directly for what he did. There's a Gemara that says that four people in Tanakh pray for something and do it completely inappropriately. And three of them were answered nicely, but one of them was not answered nicely. Who was the one who was not answered nicely?
Balaam?
No. Yiftach. It wasn't praying. Three of them say something they shouldn't say, and then it doesn't work out for them. Yiftach, what happens to Yiftach? He says, the next thing to come out of there, I'm sacrificing
it. It was his daughter.
And it was his daughter, right? So with Eliezer, what happens if, the girl who fed him was, I don't know, she was a terrible person. She just happens to like feeding camels, right? Was that really the right thing to do? So, Dad, you're making an important point that, it was a little bit too much. It was a little loaded, what he said. But it did work out in the end. It worked out for him. It worked out for Moshe. I forget who the third one is offhand. Can't remember now. But, it's a good point that it was probably not appropriate. Anyways, what we saw tonight, though, is a range of approaches towards understanding what Eliezer did, and especially what Chazal's issue with Eliezer. Chazal seemed to take issue with Eliezer and saying that he engaged in Nichush. So that the Rambam reads the Gemara as it is. Eliezer engaged in Nichush. That's it. He did. And you shouldn't do that. The Ravid says, no. Eliezer didn't engage in Nichush, or at least whatever it was that he did, it wasn't usher, it was just not a good thing. Just wasn't a good idea, but that wasn't necessarily Nichush. Tosot says, it looks like Nichush, but it wasn't really, because in his back of his mind, Eliezer had in mind that he was going to do a few more things before he finally decided to take Rivka. The Drashot Aran says it wasn't Nichush at all, because it was purely psychological. He was trying to find out if this girl was a good person. And the Gemara calls it Nichush because of the if-then paradigm. If somebody else were to say the same thing about something that was irrational, that would be Nichush. And then finally, we saw the Ramban, who, on the one hand, seems to not have a problem with Nichush per se, except insofar as it displays a lack of trust in Hashem, in which case, Eliezer is an interesting case, because Eliezer's Nichush is relying on Hashem, right? And that's exactly what the Ramban says. Eliezer's statement is not a problem, because at the end of the day, he's actually using Hashem for his Nichush. He's praying to Hashem, Hashem, please arrange for this to happen. In which case, that's not inappropriate Nichush. It's perfectly fine. But anybody who did something like what Eliezer did in another way, that would be a problem.
Okay.
Shakach, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good to you.
All right. Good night. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you very much.
Shabbat shalom.
Who's Josh out there? Who's the Josh?